This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
We're wrapping up a series this morning on three forever things, and we've talked about a forever faith and a living hope. And this morning we're going to talk about something that a lot of times people don't equate with being a forever thing, and that's love. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says this: these three things last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Well, again, because of often how we've used the term love, people don't think about, well, love is not lasting forever. In fact, Al and I had a love. It didn't last forever. Some people have gotten sour on love. So if we can add a little clarity to it, I think we have to understand that people use the term love. We kind of overuse the term. People say, well, you know, I love trucks, or I love Oreos, or I love shopping, and I love God. And we're like, oh, what's wrong with this picture? That doesn't sound right. I love these things. Really, love, we use that to mean an affinity for. And then often there's confusion because people equate love only with feelings or emotions. And so you hear people say, well, you know, I fell in love. I fell out of love. I can tell you I fell out of love Thursday night in a big way. That's a fact. Oh, laughest thou not, cowboy fans. There is room on the therapy couch for you. So it's but people talk about love, and you hear people say, well, you know, I just lost that loving feeling. They wrote songs about it. Lost that loving feeling. It's gone. Gone, gone. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Man took his wife and his mother-in-law. They went on a trip to the Holy Land. Had a great time, except for the fact that the mother mother-in-law passed away right in Jerusalem. So he's doing all the arrangements, trying to get everything set up, and an Israeli government official came and talked to him. He said, because of our great history with your country, we have a special deal. If someone passes away, an American passes away in Jerusalem, say, we will bury them. It only costs you $150. He said, if you do not want to bury her here, we can prepare the body, send her home. That's going to be about $7,000. And the man said, send her home. Israeli said, well, just out of curiosity, $150 buried in the Holy Land, why wouldn't you want that? He said, about 2,000 years ago, that was a man who was buried here. He said, 3 days later, he arose from the dead. I can't take that chance. It's obvious he's lost that loving feeling, and it's gone. People often look at love, and they treat it like a fixed asset. They look at love like you look at height, all right? You know, people say, I'm not 6 feet. Well, you know, people say, well, I'm just not a loving person. You know, my spouse, they're a loving person. I'm not a loving person. And so often people limit themselves because they think love is a fixed asset. But I want to talk this morning about a different kind of love. That God's love is a different kind of love. There's about four Greek words used in the Bible for love. And the one that we see most associated with God is the word agape. It's a different kind of love. It's a love that values others even more than self. It's a love that says, I want to do what's best for you, not necessarily what you want or what's best for me. Parents understand that. They ask their kids what they want to eat for breakfast. They say, I'd like a big glass of Coke and some Bluebell. And well, if you're a good parent, that's not the best way to send your child to school. And so you say, no, sorry, you're getting cereal and a glass of milk. You do what's best for them, not necessarily what they want, because you value them. But love also has an element of cost. The God kind of love is somebody say, well, love is cheap. It's not cheap. It costs. Yeah. It has an element of giving and cost to it. My reading a passage in the scriptures the other day, and I was reading about just a small short story about David. And David, a man after God's own heart, he was in a situation where God said, you need to build an altar. You need to build it right here on this threshing floor of Ornan and make an offering to me. Israel was going through a very difficult time. So David knew he needed to obey God. He needed to make this offering. And so he went to build this altar, and Ornan saw him and came out to meet him. Now, the threshing floor was like a business. It's like a processing plant for wheat. And Ornan saw David. He comes out and he bows down. David said, I need to buy this land. I need to make an altar to the Lord. And Ornan says something. He said, you're the king. He said, David, he said, I will give you everything. I'll give you the land. I'll give you the press. I'll give you the bulls for the altar, for the sacrifice. I'll even give you the wood. I'll give you the grain for the grain offering. It's all yours. And David said something very interesting to this man, Ornan, very generous man. He said, no, he said, I will not give the Lord that which costs me nothing. So he's basically saying is, if I'm going to give an offering to God, it's going to cost me something. And love costs. My youngest son was engaged about 2 weeks ago. It's on Facebook, so it's all public business now. I tell my kids, I'll tell your story, but if you put it on Facebook, it's mine. So he and his fiance, and he bought a ring for his fiance. He told me what he spent for it. And I'm like, whoa, that's more than I spent for your mom. When Joy got her ring, she said, oh, it's cute. And I've been paying for that one for 34 years. Keep on adding on. My son has just learned the first of many valuable lessons that love costs. There's a cost. If there's no give to it, there's really no God kind of love in it. And here's the verse that backs that up. Many of you know this one. It's John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. The love of God gives. We're going to look at a story this morning from a guy in the Bible who has a love for God and a love for people. It's actually out of the Old Testament. His name is Solomon. He's the third king of Israel. He is David's son. The story of his birth is fascinating. It's amazing how God redeemed a really bad situation. And Solomon is prepared to be king. David has died. And Solomon is feeling the enormity of that, leading a country falling on him. And so Solomon has a love for God, and he has a real encounter with God. Let's read the story out of Kings. So Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions given him by his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burned incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. And at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Solomon answered, you've shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You've continued this great kindness to him. You've given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I'm only a child. I don't know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people who you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? Solomon, in this prayer, shows a couple of things. You see a heart for God and you see a heart for people. A love, a genuine love. He has a love for God. He said he showed his love for God in the fact that Solomon walked according to all the things that David told him. David was a man with a heart after God. And Solomon was instructed in the ways to love God, and the Bible said he did it. So, in other words, he didn't just tell God he loved him, he showed him. And he walked according to God's ways. And then you see another way that he loved God. You see him give an offering. And it wasn't just any offering, it was 1,000 burnt offerings. Now, guys, whenever the Bible lists numbers or superlatives, it's trying to highlight that. If the Bible tells you that a woman was very beautiful, she was very beautiful. If it tells you a man was extremely handsome, he was extremely handsome. If it doesn't mention anything, then he's like most of us. It's just regular folks. But every time the Bible highlights something, it's for a reason. And the Bible highlighted not just an offering, 1,000 burnt offerings. And so Solomon has a love for God. And we're not talking about grain or something. We're talking about sheep and goats and bulls and calves. That's a lot of livestock. And this was Solomon's offering to God. I'm glad we don't have to give burnt offerings today. We can't give an offering of praise. It does cost us something. But Solomon offered these burnt offerings, and then God honored him. God came and said, Solomon, ask me whatever you want me to give you. This is the lottery ticket prayer. What do you want, Solomon? And how would you respond if God did that to you? You have a dream and all of a sudden God shows up to you and you hear a voice that says, ask whatever you want and I'm going to give you. You think of a lot of stuff. I mean, if that happened to a lot of us, there'd be beautiful houses on the lake. There'd be a lot of nice cars around. There'd be people who have disappeared off the planet. There'd be a lot of things going on. But what Solomon asked shows his love for people. And I love how Solomon talked to God. And actually, we'll talk about it just a little bit later because it's a great pattern for prayer. Solomon didn't start with, oh, great God, this is what I want. Solomon said, Lord, you've been good to me. You've been good to my father. He acknowledged God's goodness in his life and in his father's life. So he's acknowledging a heritage with God. God, you have been so good. You have been kind. And now you've made me servant. Then he acknowledges, I have a need for you, God. I can't do this on my own. I need your help. I'm young. One translation says, I don't know how to come in and go out. In other words, he's saying, I don't know how to lead. So he said, God, here's what I need. Lord, I need wisdom. One translation says, I need wisdom and knowledge. Other one says, I need a discerning heart. One translation says, I need a hearing heart so that I'm able to be a good leader, so that I can be a blessing to these people, because these aren't my people, these are your people. God, make me a blessing to these people. And we're going to find out that prayer pleased God. You don't see that often, but this one did. Look what it says here. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you've asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but you've asked for discernment and ministering justice, I will do what you've asked. I'll give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. And moreover, I'll give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among the kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life. I love this, God's answer. He said, man, this pleases me. You didn't ask for yourself, Solomon. You could have asked a lot of things. You could have said, God, I want to be rich. I want to be the richest, richest king. I want people to be amazed. They drive up to my palace and they go, whoa, that's amazing. I want to be that kind of wealthy. Or God, I want to be famous. I want to be so famous that everywhere and across the whole world, people know who I am. They know, God, I want to be famous. God, I've got all these enemies, and they're problems to me. I want you to wipe them out. Lord, I need all my enemies killed. I need all of them dead. Lord, I'm tired of messing with these people. But he didn't ask for that, and he didn't ask for long life. And God said, you know what? He said, you didn't ask for that. He said, but you asked for wisdom. He said, I'm going to give you wisdom. So I'm going to give you amazing wisdom. Solomon's wisdom, the scriptures say Solomon actually had people who followed him around and wrote down what he said. Now, wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't you love to have just people running out behind you, and then you stop, and they stop and go, oh, he's going to say something. And then you say something, and you want to go, take a note. And everyone writes that down. You'd be a smart guy. Say, does that happen to you? No, I wish my children would do that, but they never did. They just, his wisdom was amazing. It just poured out of him. And God said, also, I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for. You didn't ask for wealth, and you didn't ask for honor. You didn't ask for the life of your enemies. He said, I'm going to give you all of that. And so oftentimes, I think this is one of the greatest pictures of we want the wealth, we want the fame, we want the problems taken care of. I think we need to go about it a different way. Let's go a different path. God, make me a blessing to people and all this stuff. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. So he said, I'm seeking God what blesses people. And in doing that, all the rest of it landed on Solomon. So in a love that's growing, you can have a love that's growing. And then a love that's a growing kind of love. You want to grow in three areas of love. First thing you want to grow in, you want to grow in your love for God. They would ask Jesus all the time, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Pharisees always trying to pin him down. What's the greatest? What's the greatest? And Jesus would respond, well, you will love the Lord your God. We saw it today in the offering. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Guess what? That never changed. You still, what's the great? We want to love God. He said, and then we'll say, well, Alan, how can I love God? I can't hug him. I can't send him a note. How do I love God? How you love God is how you value his things, and it shows up actually in your life. It shows up in how you live. Many of you know my story that I met 35 years ago, I met a beautiful, dark-haired Italian woman in a bikini, a leopard-skin bikini bathing suit. That got my attention, and then God got my attention. And how I wound up giving my heart back to the Lord. And I never forget, I gave my heart back to the Lord. I was running on a golf course and praying, talking to God. Looked like a crazy person. I'm slinging snot and just talking to God. I never forget, I came back into my apartment. And I knew I just given my heart back to God. I knew there was something I wanted to do. I love God. This needed to take place. I was raised Baptist. I was raised Shiite Baptist, which means we were very serious people. We were, and in the South, If you were a serious Baptist in the 60s and 70s, you know that you didn't smoke, you didn't drink, and you didn't cuss, and you didn't go to clubs. And that's what you did if you were serious. And so I was raised that way. I never heard my parents cuss. Well, no, I never heard my dad cuss. My mom cussed twice, both at me. And so neither of them smoked, they didn't drink. I knew what I had to do. When I went upstairs, I'd come back in. I had some marijuana that I kept in a closet. And I wasn't a drinker, but I was a smoker. And I would come home and I wouldn't have a cocktail, I'd have a bong hit. And so I don't look so surprised. People, this is 35 years ago, okay? Work with me here. And I'll tell you something. You say, Alan, I'd be embarrassed to tell that to people. I'm not embarrassed to tell anything that God's redeemed me from and set me free from. It doesn't embarrass me at all. It doesn't bother me at all. Hey, I didn't get saved because I was perfect. I got saved because he's perfect, and I just simply gave my life to him. So when I did that, I walked upstairs. I took the bong. I took all the dope, took it out, dumped it in the dumpster. Didn't sell it, didn't give it away. I realized if I'm going to love God, I need to get rid of some stuff. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to stop going to the clubs. I'm going to start going to church. And I'm talking to church people today. Maybe you were in the club last night. That's okay. I'm glad you're here today. But there are some things that you love God, you'll be giving some stuff up. I gave up the clubs. I just decided that's probably not the best place to be. That's not where I need to be in church. So I started going to church. What am I doing? No one forced me. No one made me. I love God. And so in loving God, I wanted to do some things for God. He's been good to me. I wanted to change some things in my life. Say, well, wow, 35 years ago, are you still doing stuff? Yes. You're still growing, still learning, still giving things up. Now it becomes things like giving up judgmental thoughts and unkind words. Yeah. And everyone went, ooh, I was hoping to be a little something more than that. So you love God. Here's another thing, too. You value God, but you also, how you love God shows up in how you serve him and give to him. Yes. After I'd given my heart back to the Lord, that very same week, I told Joy, I said, we're going to church. She said, where? I said, doesn't matter. We're going. There's one close by. We'll go to that one. We went close by, and I wrote a tithe check. In fact, I didn't just write a tithe check. I wrote a back tithe check. I figured I owe God some. So I've just back tithe. No one forced me. No one made me. Sermon wasn't about tithing. It was something I grew up in my family. I knew that's what I needed to do. There's a give to love. And if you'll give to God, he sees that. He knows that. No one's forcing it. Joy and I, we just think for us, the tithe is the beginning place. It's not where we end. We give over and above tithes. Why? We love God. We love his work. We love his things. We love his kingdom. We want to be a part of that. So we do that. And we're not embarrassed of it, not ashamed of it, not regretting it. We love the fact that we get to do something and honor him. And if you'll honor him, he'll honor you. We have a guy here in our church who's been such a blessing to us. And it's Bob and his wife, Joyce Capp. They're right here on the front row. In fact, stand up, Bob and Joyce, in case they don't know you. But he has been waving at everybody. I wanted you to see how much prettier the Joyce is than Bob. That brother can sell right there, I'm telling you. God honored him. But when Bob came, he came to us from, he'd been in a church in Pennsylvania, been there for 12 years, done a marvelous work there. When he was leaving, it was a negative situation, and really he was being pushed out. Thank God we were looking for someone. He was in a bad situation, and boy, what a wonderful situation. We're so glad that they're here. Yeah. They've done a marvelous job with our adult ministries. But he had done a great job up there, and a new pastor had come in, and it wasn't really right what had happened to Bob. There were some people who were angry. They said, we're upset. We're angry. We're going to this business meeting tonight. We're going to tear this up. I mean, they were mad. They were getting ready to make this business meeting. Some of you have been to those. They were going to make this one ugly. And Bob said something I thought was so good. He said, no, guys. Look, if you love me, he said, if you appreciate anything I've done, don't do that. Don't hurt the church. Bob and Joyce came down there. The business meeting went off. No one did anything. Even though Bob could have been vindicated, he didn't. He came down here. Well, he had been here just a few months, and we had an opening in our junior high department. And Bob came to me. He said, I've got a son-in-law. They're in California. He and my oldest daughter, Brittany, and Brandon, they're out there. He said, they might be a good candidate. Well, we interviewed them. We hired them. And so Bob and Joyce come to Texas. Their oldest daughter and her husband moved from California to Texas. And Bob gets an opportunity to be around his kids. What a blessing. And then after a while, we figured out Brittany, she's the bright-eyed girl you saw today doing the announcements. She's the happy one. And she is a great administrator. And we hired her too. So now Bob gets to work with his daughter and his son-in-law is here. And then last year, Brittany and Brandon adopted two beautiful little girls. And so Bob and Joyce became instant grandparents. But now they have an opportunity to grow up, to touch, to be involved in the lives of their grandchildren. If you'll honor God, He will honor you. He does not forget. He's good. Look at this verse here in Hebrews 6 chapter. Said, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. We grow in our love for God. Second thing is we grow in our love for one another, in the God kind of love. I love Solomon's prayer. That's a great way to pray. There's a great pattern in the Lord's Prayer. Here's Solomon's prayer. It's very simple. It's, Lord, I acknowledge I am grateful for all that you have done for me. You have been good to me. You have helped me. You say, well, Alan, he really hadn't done much in my life. Listen, if he saved you from hell, he's done a wonderful thing in your life. And you can always say, thank you for what you have done. Thank you for how you've moved in my family. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You acknowledge God's goodness in your life, then you acknowledge your need for him. You say, well, I know people that have done great without God. I understand that. But who knows what they could have done if they had followed God's plan for their life and how much greater it would have been. To follow God's plan, you need His help. And if you say, Lord, I need your help. I need wisdom. I need wisdom to be a better husband, better wife, better employee, better employer. I need wisdom to be a better minister. God, I need your wisdom. And here's the deal. Lord, I need you. Would you make me a blessing to the people in my life? Now, a lot of times we are praying for a lot of stuff. God, I need help in this. I need you to kill my enemies. I need you to do this. I need this happen. I need that happen. I need more money. I need more fame. I need more people to know who I am. I need. And it's easy to pray that way. But it's a much better way to pray, Lord, would you make me a blessing to somebody else? Would you help me? You talk about a prayer God will answer, He'll answer that. When Joy and I took over the singles at Lakewood years and years ago, we took over the singles, there was a lot of dissension and strife when we took them over, and they blamed Joy and I. No one liked the singles and no one liked us. That group dwindled down. I preached them away. And they dwindled down to 12 people. A lady came up to me after one of the services one night. She said, would you pray for me? I said, sure. She said, I was happy when I came in here. I'm depressed now. Pray for me. I'm like, well, great. That's all you need to hear. And so, like, blesses me. But I realized, man, we got to do something different here. So when this unhappy group of singles showed up the next week, I said, get in your car, guys. Follow me. We're going to a halfway house. We went and ministered at a halfway house. Next week, we went to a nursing home. A few weeks after that, we helped the children's church get ready for a fair. So every time people were coming, we weren't just saying, come to us. We're going to go to you. We're going to be a blessing to you. And that group, which had dwindled down to 12 in a year and a half, was up to 250, and people began to come, not because we were blessed, it's because we were a blessing. Guys, that's what we do as a church. As a church, the Ark Church, we're not known in this community for our great facility. We're not known for our great preaching or our great music or our great children's church or our great youth. We're not known for that. I think all of those are good, especially the preaching, but we're not known for that. We're known because we bless people. We go to nursing homes. We feed people. We're a blessing to them. That's how we're known. Because people really don't care how much you know until they know that you care. And so the fact that we show this community that we care, we're saying, Lord, make us a blessing. And if you're sitting there thinking, man, Alan, I have such a hard time. I'm just not a loving person. Here's a great prayer. Also, you can pray. It's in Thessalonians. And it says this, and may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow in overflow, just as our love for you overflows. You realize that God will help you with that? You say, God, would you help me to love people? Would you help me to value people? Would you help me to be a giver? He'll help you. He'll help you do that. That's right after His own heart. And here's the last thing. We need to grow in our love for God, grow in our love for others, and grow in God's love for us. Now, that's an awareness, guys. That we're just aware that God truly loves us. And you know, a lot of times the thoughts come and they're contradictory and they think, you know, Alan, I'd like to believe that, but I'm going through too much trouble. Alan, I'd like to believe that, but I've just gone through a divorce. Alan, I'd like to believe that, but I've just gone through the toughest time of my life. If God really loved me. No, listen, God really loves you, and all that stuff that you're going through does not separate Him and you from one another. He still loves you. Paul understood this, and this is what he wrote in Romans. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor present, nor future, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hey, what you're going through is not going to separate you from God's love. And if nothing can separate us from his love, then don't separate yourself. Too often people have said, well, I've just messed up too much. I've made too much of a mistake. I know that God can't love me. I know that. I'll close with this story. And Jeanette Cliff George said she was on a plane years ago. She was sitting across from a little lady that sat down, beautiful white pinafore, white dress, very pretty young mother with a pretty little baby. And the baby girl had a bow in her hair, white pinafore on, just was so precious, called everybody dad. Everybody walked by, she's like, dad, just so cute. They were just enjoying the baby. The baby was all happy until they started flying. Then the baby got unhappy. Baby started crying. Mama started giving the baby some juice and some fruit. Baby would cry, some more juice, some more fruit. Well, that's good, except for the fact they hit some major turbulence. Major turbulence. They made all the flight attendants sit down. And Jeanette Cliff George said that everything that was in that baby came out of that baby. She said that baby started throwing up. She said the carpet was a mess. The mother was a mess. All the white pinafore dresses were a mess. She said we were a mess. She said that baby just threw up and threw up. She said there was more throw up than there was baby. I can't believe. She said it was just horrible. She said when they landed, the baby went back to being happy. Dad, called everybody dad. Said the pin, her hair was all matted, bow was all messed up. Cliff George says, she said, have you ever had anything that was unpleasant and you felt like it was you? She said, I didn't know where to burn the suit, just cut the sleeve off. She said, well, we're leaving. She said, I happened to follow the young mother and her daughter out. And waiting for them, she said, was a very handsome man, white shirt, white pants, carrying white flowers. She was watching. She said, I know what's going to happen. He's going to see that baby, and he's going to go, ooh, that's not my kid. But the mother almost threw the child into the father's hands and ran to the bathroom to clean up. And she watched. She said, I wanted to see what this father would do. She said, that father in the white shirt and the white pants grabbed that little baby and held the baby close. He began to stroke her matted hair and began to kiss her on top of the head. And he kept saying, Daddy's baby's come home. Daddy's baby has come home. She said, I watched as they walked all the way to the baggage claim area. He never once stopped loving that baby, stopped kissing that baby. He never once stopped welcoming that baby home. And Jeanette Cliff George said this, and I love her words. She said, when did I ever think that my Heavenly Father is not greater in love than a young father with a white shirt and white pants and white flowers? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Don't separate yourself. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? I'm going to ask, please, that no one leave or move. We'll be out of here in just a minute. But if you came and said, I don't have a relationship with God. I've never asked Jesus to be my Savior. Or maybe you've done that in time past and you know in your heart, I've gotten away from God and today I want to come back. We're going to say a prayer and sitting in the chairs, we're not going to ask that you stand up or come to the front. We're not trying to embarrass you guys. But this is an important time. If you're here and you say, Alan, I do want a relationship with Jesus. I need God's love in my life. Or I need to reconnect with that. And you would like our prayers. Just a moment, I'm going to give you a chance. I'd like you to slip your hand up and we're going to pray with you. But if that's you that I'm talking to, and maybe you're feeling like you're unworthy, you're like that child, you're just a mess. Listen, not to God you're not. His love for you is perfect. It's an act of his will, not a matter of what you've done. So if you're here and that's you that I'm talking to, you'd like either come into fellowship with him or come back into fellowship with him. You'd like our prayers. Real quick, slip your hand up across this auditorium. Mr. Allen, that's me. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thanks. Anybody else? Say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Thanks. Great. All right, we're going to pray. You can put your hands down. Maybe you lifted your hand. Maybe you didn't. But you're thinking, I need this. I want to connect with this. Listen, we're going to pray this prayer. You can jump right in. This is of the heart. God will see this. And we're going to pray with you as a church family. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer, for those who stepped out of darkness into light. And Father, for those who've come back into fellowship, we give you all the praise, all the thanks for that. Thank you. We can love you more. Thank you. We can love one another more. Thank you. We can grow in our love for you, and we give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.